The grace, mercy, and peace of our triune God be with you. Marley was dead to begin with. That is the first line of Charles Dickens' book, A Christmas Carol. I have yet to read the whole book, but I have seen a number of the movie renditions of A Christmas Carol. The Disney version, the Bill Murray Scrooge, the Mickey Mouse version, the Jim Carrey version, and the adapted version with Matthew McConaughey, The Ghost of Girlfriend's Past? I don't recommend it. The Muppets version, on the other hand, that one is a classic. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story of Scrooge. We meet a character who is your typical curmudgeon, a guy who is obsessed with money and the bottom line, who treats everyone he meets with anger, gruffness, and a general lack of concern for their well-being. And on Christmas Eve one year, his curmudgeonness really begins to show. He barely lets his employee Bob Cratchit off for Christmas Day. He turns down his sweet nephew, inviting him to come for Christmas dinner, and he rejects a beggar asking for coins. But as he arrives home that night, something is different. The spirit of his old partner, Jacob Marley, who died years before, comes to him. Marley's message to Scrooge is that he will be visited by three ghosts this evening, and it would be to his benefit to pay attention. Scrooge, of course, dismisses this and proceeds about his evening routine, but in the middle of the night, he is, in fact, woken up by three visitors who we come to know as the Ghost of Christmas Past, Present, and Future. Scrooge is reminded of who he once was. He's given a different perspective of the way things are now, and he heeds a warning of what the future might be if things don't change. And I won't give away the ending, just in case you haven't seen it, but it's good. For the next 4 weeks, we will be embarking on a sermon series that we have named The Gospel According to Scrooge. And when Pastor John told me we would be doing this, I honestly didn't think much of it. But then I realized I was up to preach on Advent 1. So I immediately began doing research. And I started by rewatching one of the movies. And I chose the Mickey Mouse version, not because it's my favorite, but because I thought Everly might enjoy it with me. I then turned to the book. And when I read those first few words, Marley was dead, I struggled to give reason why Dickens would begin his book in such a way. Was it to startle his audience as an attention grabber, or just to make a point? Scrooge is one of those characters that we're not supposed to like. He's mean. He's maybe even a bully. He's what we would call in literary terms an anti-hero. So when I think Dickens begins his novel with Marley is dead, it's to let us know that Scrooge is grieving. Jacob Marley was his best friend and partner. And losing someone like that creates a considerable hole in our hearts and in our lives. And its effect often seeps into all areas of our day-to-day activities, and sometimes it shows up in unexpected places, especially around the holidays. The fact that Scrooge is grieving is central to the message of Dickens' novel. It's said that grief is a funny thing. I don't know about you, but I haven't found anything funny about grief. It's real, it's real painful, and it's visceral. And just like Scrooge experienced, grief often rears its ugly head around Christmas. Whether someone you know has died this time of year or not, we always miss our loved ones and the traditions we used to share. Some of the people we may have lost may not have died, but for one reason or another are not currently present in our lives. And this can be just as painful. We are flooded by memories, and it's hard not to be transported back to the past. Our scripture passage today from Isaiah begins by speaking of a grieving Israel. They've been through some tough times. It's described as being a dimness all over the land, people walking in darkness. The shadow of death feels near. There's gloom, despair, and even distress. Does that sound familiar? The chapters leading up to ours today is where we meet an Israel preparing for battle. They're about to be under control of a tyrant king, and Assyria is slowly taking over and has already conquered parts of northern Israel. And the people, they don't know what to do, specifically Ahaz. They're losing their land and coming under a new rule, and this is the cause of their grief. I can't help but think that America, too, is coming under a new rule pretty soon. And this is causing many of us to grieve as well. The 2016 election has brought so many emotions and struggles and division, but primarily, it has made many of us aware of a country we didn't know we lived in. In some ways, it feels as though America has been visited by the ghost of Christmas past. Many of us have been wandering along thinking that progress is being made. We're proud to be Americans and proud to live in a country that practices tolerance, acceptance, freedom of religion, and freedom of speech. And now, we have realized that this country is not as accepting as we thought. We have realized that racism is alive and not only well, but thriving. That hate and concern of self seems to be the dominant opinion over love and the well-being of all. And that doesn't feel like progress. It feels like we're going back in time, bringing to life all the ghosts of America's past. In A Christmas Carol, Scrooge wakes up on Christmas Day and realizes that it was all just a dream. But friends, this isn't a dream. We went to sleep on election night and woke up the next morning with the reality of a Trump presidency. And if you don't think that's cause for concern, then maybe we should chat. Now, I don't usually post political comments or articles on Facebook. I generally try to keep the peace when confronted with family members who disagree with me, and I usually don't preach political sermons, so I'm a little out of my element here, and honestly, it makes me uncomfortable. But I feel that this is too important to keep silent, and I won't do it anymore, and I don't think you should either. It won't be fun. It certainly won't be easy. And it will be uncomfortable for a while. But it's time. It's our turn to be uncomfortable. And it's our turn to carry the pain and the fear. And it's our turn to be a little vulnerable. Our LGBTQ friends, our Muslim friends, our African American friends, our immigrant friends, they've done it long enough. And they need a break. If America is Scrooge, then the ghost of Christmas past has made it very apparent that our country needs to acknowledge our history. Matt Rawl, in his book, The Redemption of Scrooge, says, "It seems that the gospel teaches us that we honor our pain not by holding on to it, but by sharing it and carrying it with one another." It doesn't matter what your political leaning is, and it doesn't even matter who you voted for. This election has brought to light that as Christians, we have work to do. Not as Democrats or Republicans, as Christians, as followers of Christ, as God's messengers to a grieving and hurting world. And what I love about this Isaiah passage today is that it doesn't leave us in the gloom. There is a light that shines in the darkness, and the same is true for us. The people have seen a great light, and it comes in the form of a baby. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace. Though it may feel gloomy now, change is coming. Something beautiful is about to be born. You can feel it. You can see it in the posts on Facebook. There is a surge of energy to not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. In John's sermon 2 weeks ago, he reminded us that we have a call to be salt of the earth and light of the world. As the hands and feet of Jesus, we have to shine with love and hope. Advent is traditionally a time of waiting. But now's not the time to wait to see what happens. Something new is being born, and we have the responsibility and the privilege to nurture and protect that. And it's going to take some work. But as Matt Rawl said in his book, even our Savior has parents. God trusts humanity more than we do sometimes. Enough to send our parents or our Savior to be taken care of by human parents. And God trusts us now too, to nurture God's kingdom here on earth, to be part of this new and wonderful way of being where love triumphs over hate. I ran across a poem when I was preparing for today, and I don't know if I could summarize the message of this sermon better. Listen to these words by Scott Barton. She did something different. She treasured and pondered, not only amazed, but she thought and she wondered. Just what was their meaning that this diapered wee boy would be to all people a sign of great joy? And why even now does he cause such a flutter in hearts all around? While these carols we utter, is this what they meant when they said that a Savior would come, a Messiah, to make our love braver? It's not easy modeling Jesus's radical love or to be the light in a dark world. To do so, we have to be brave. One of my favorite movies is Disney's The Lion King. Simba, the main character at the end, is faced with the reality of the pain and suffering his leaving has brought on the whole animal kingdom. And in a heart-to-heart conversation with Rafiki, the wise old monkey, he says, "I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past." So what does Rafiki do? He takes his walking stick, whacks him on the head. What was that for? What does it matter? It's in the past. Well, yeah, but it still hurts. Rafiki says, "Ah, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it is you can either run from it or learn from it." If A Christmas Carol has taught us anything, it's the fact that Scrooge is worthy and able to be redeemed. And our country is too. It is worth being visited by the ghost of our past to deal with what has gotten us to this place. And I know some of you may be grieving this holiday season, grieving for our country, grieving for lost loved ones, grieving because we think we're supposed to be joyous at Christmas time, but we just aren't there. But be brave. Choose love. And don't let the past bring you down. Instead, let it be a guiding light as we protect this new and beautiful thing being born. Let it be the star shining bright for us as we travel to see the birth of a new America. And heed these words from the theologian Ebenezer Scrooge. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons they teach. Amen.